We're in a new series this morning called Courage Over Fear, and we live in a world that is full of uncertainty. And one of the things that just keeps coming up as I talk with people and as I look around is that people are just scared. They're afraid of a lot of things, and it may be the latest international drama with Syria and Russia. It may be just how families are falling apart, the drug epidemic, poverty, growing violence around our country, job layoffs. I could just go on and on, right? The instability in our economy. It's something new. It's something different every single week. But people are afraid. And when I was thinking about talking about courage, I remembered seeing some photos of, there was this one haunted house that took photos of people as they were going through the haunted house. And I don't know if anybody saw these, but I really wanted to show you what fear looks like, okay? And so here are just some pictures. It's funny how we respond when we're afraid. Yeah, I mean, some of these are, I love the facial expressions. I love how the guys are like hugging each other. Yeah, look at, I mean, these guys are tough. Look at that. They're all, the kids and their parents are like, fend for yourselves here. Yeah, that one just, I don't know what to think about that. They're just like completely scared. They're just about to run. You know, I'm getting out of here. I like how they're just, I'm going to choke you and maybe that'll help. And I think there's like one more maybe. Yeah, this one I just don't know. The dad's closing his eyes. I don't know what the other two are doing. All right. When we get scared, we react in some crazy ways, okay? And it's, even though, yeah, I mean, we can laugh about that. We can look about that. In real life, when we get scared, it's really, we don't always respond in a rational way. Would you agree with that? I mean, when we get scared, when we get afraid, we don't always react rationally. And so what I want to do today, we want to go to Scripture. We want to learn, what does the Bible say about fear? How can we overcome this fear of the unknown? And really, at the heart of fear, so much of it is about, I'm just fearful of the unknown. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what the future holds for me. I don't know if it's safe. And as we go through this series, we're going to be talking about fear of violence. We're going to be talking about all these different fears, right, that we struggle with in life, things that are just... But today we kind of want to kind of open it up, talking about this fear of the unknown. Max Lucado says this. He says, fear, it seems, has taken a 100-year lease on the building next door and has set up shop. Oversized and rude, fear is unwilling to share the heart with happiness. Happiness complies and leaves. Do you ever see the two together? Can one be happy and afraid at the same time? Can you have clear thinking and be afraid? Confident and afraid? Merciful and afraid? No. Fear is the big bully in the high school hallway, brash, loud, and unproductive. For all the noise fear makes and rooms it takes, fear does little good. And we're just coming out of a series in Romans chapter 8. And if you weren't here for that, Romans chapter 8 is such an incredible chapter that talks about all that Christ has done and who our identity, that we're now children of God. And now Christ has us, this, it kind of ends with this. We have nothing to fear, right? It ends in Romans 8, chapter 38, verse 38 and verse 39. It says this. It says, I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or on the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so that's kind of what we just finished up talking about, and now we get to dive deep. Let's talk about our fears for today, our worries about tomorrow. Because the reality is, in this room, there are so many people here in this room that we are struggling with fears. And you may act tough, just like the people in those photos. When you go in a haunted house, you don't go in, oh, I'm so, they're going in there, you're not going to scare me. And then that happens, right? And that's the way we're going through life. We're acting like, I'm not afraid of anything. I've got this. But then something hits us. When I'm talking about what you're afraid of, I'm asking, what is it that steals your joy? What is it that destroys your hope? What is it that's robbing you of sleep at night? What is it that keeps you from living by faith and taking risk for God? What is it that keeps you from giving your life wholly to God, who wants nothing but the best for you? That's what I'm talking about. Those are the things that we're fearful of. Those are the things that just rob our joy, destroy our hope. And that's why we need courage. So what's courage? The dictionary defines courage this way: the ability to face and deal with a dangerous or difficult situation. And that's kind of close, but there's more to courage than that, right? Because, I mean, if that's the definition of courage, then bravery is the same thing. But there's a little more to courage. One author came up with this definition. He says, courage is the willingness to act toward a moral and a worthwhile goal despite the presence of risk, uncertainty, and fear. So we're getting a little closer now, right? It's doing something good, right? It's not just doing something risky. It's not just doing something dangerous. Courage is doing something that has a good moral value. It's doing something for God, right? Even when it's difficult, even when there's risk, even when there's uncertainty. And so this kind of definition here, I like it. It's the one that's in your notes is courage. It's doing what you're afraid to do. All right, when we talk about that, it's simply doing what you're afraid to do. There's one saying, it goes like this: courage is fear that has said its prayers. George Patton defined it this way: courage is fear that holds on for one more minute. Franklin Jones said it this way: courage is the ability to not let people know how scared you are on the inside. All right? But courage is doing what you're afraid to do. So where there's no fear, there's no courage. And I want you to realize this morning. Sometimes we beat ourselves over because we're afraid. But it's in our fears, where it's in our weakness, where Christ can be made strong. It's in those times when we may be fearful that then it gives us an opportunity to have courage and trust God fully. So if you're here this morning and there are things in your future that you are afraid of, welcome to the club. But let's deal with it in a way that honors Christ. Let's have a godly response instead of a response of fear, of running, instead of trying to choke somebody. No, let's respond in a way that we can trust God. The people who actually go through and count the stuff in the Bible, now you can search on your computer and see it. What we find is there's 365 fear nots in the Bible, one for every single day of the year. Fear not, right? The Gospels list some 125 Christ-issued imperatives. Of these, 21 tell us not to be afraid or to not fear or to have courage or to take heart or to be of good cheer, right? The second most common command is to love God and, love God and our neighbor. It only appears about 8 times. So if you go by the number of times it appears, the quantity, I mean, this is an important subject. It's over and over and over again through the Bible. Have courage. Don't be afraid. Understand that I'm with you. And all this over and over again that we see. Earlier this week, I ran across this quote, and I actually went back to try to find it. I can't find it. I don't know where I saw it, but it's just stuck in my mind all week. And it's the second point in your notes, and it really made a lot of sense to me. It says, fear set the limits for your life. And what I mean by that is, this is so true. Really, what fears do, they kind of put a cap. They put a ceiling. They kind of limit your life. If you're afraid of heights, then you won't go to high places. If you're afraid of being on an airplane, you're never going to go have the opportunity to do an international mission trip, unless you like to drive a really long ways. If you're afraid to do something, it's going to keep you from doing it. And so what fears do, the greater the fear, the greater the limit, the more that it holds you back, the more it prevents you from doing what God has called you to do. And so that's why we've got to address these fears. Whatever it is you're afraid of will dictate the choices that you make in life. John Maxwell talks about this principle, and the way he describes, he talks about this vicious cycle that happens in life. And when we start yielding to a fear, what happens is then the fear leads us to inactivity. So fear leads to inactivity. We just don't do it. Nope, I'm afraid. I'm not going to try. You're not going to see me doing that. Then the inactivity leads to inexperience. Why? Well, I can't do that. I've never done it before. You see the cycle, what's happening here? And then the inexperience leads to inability, where you can't do something because you're just simply too fearful to even try. So fear to inactivity, right, to inexperience, to inability. That's the cycle, and that's why fears really do set the limits for your life. So as we get started this morning, as we start getting into this, let me just ask you, what are the fears in your life that are preventing you from doing what God has called you to do? For some of you, maybe, I don't want to speak in front of people. I couldn't teach kids. I don't want to be around them. I don't want to go on a mission trip. I got to get in a plane to do that. I'm not doing that. I don't want to go and help. You know, I can't serve in that way. You don't know what I just couldn't do that. That's not me. I'm too shy. I'm too introverted. That was my excuse for a long time, right? And you see how God has a sense of humor. And that's what you learn, right? When you let your fears dictate your choices, they're going to set limits on your life. And you're going to miss out on what's best, what God has in store for you. If you got your Bibles, flip to Joshua chapter 1. That's where we're going to be this morning. Joshua chapter 1 in the Old Testament towards the beginning. And we're going to kind of jump in here. And when you read Joshua 1, you've got to read it in its full emotional context, right? Moses has just died. And he is dead because he disobeyed God. He allowed the pressure of everybody following him. He allowed it to get to him. He acted out in unbelief. And so he didn't get to enter the promised land. And so now he's kind of commissioned Joshua to go forward. And so this now God's kind of given Joshua a lesson on courage here. And Joshua has a history of courage. If you know the story, right? If you know the story during the Israelites' journey through the wilderness, there were several bumps along the way. God sent the Israelites, they sent 12 spies into the promised land to go and check things out. And they sent these 12 spies there. And then Joshua and Caleb were the two that came back and said, hey, we can do it. We can do it. And the rest didn't. And so what we see then is this 40 years of wondering that, okay, if you're not going to trust God, you're going to wonder for 40 years. But Joshua and Caleb here, they get to enter. And so what we see here in Joshua 1, let me just kind of pick it up in verse 1. It says, after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I'm giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on the land that I've given you. From the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. It says in verse 6, be strong and courageous. For you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land that I swore to their ancestors that I would give to them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey the instructions that Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command, to be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. we see so many things that can help us right here, right? This was written to the Israelites. This was written to Joshua just to tell him, okay, I'm asking you to do something risky here. I know there's uncertainty here, but here's why you can trust me. Here is how you can have the confidence to know that the fear of the unknown is no match for the trust that you have in your God. And that's what we need to hear today. If you're following along in your notes, there's a few lessons we learn here, how we can overcome the fear of the unknown. And there's several things here that we can take from this passage. Here's the first thing I want you to understand. The first thing we've got to do is we've got to admit irrational thinking. We've got to admit irrational thinking. Do you remember that Moses sent out 12 men to spy on the land that God promised? The land was incredible, right? Flowing with milk and honey was what they reported back. They cut down this branch with a single cluster of grapes, and it was so large that it took two people to carry a single cluster of grapes. They had to put it on a pole and carry it back just to show everybody. I mean, that was like, there's pomegranates and all this figs and all this stuff, and they brought back, and they're like, this is incredible. But their fears made them think kind of irrational here, right? And think, up to this point, they'd seen God work in some incredible ways. God had rescued them from slavery in Egypt by sending the plagues, right? So they saw God at work. They saw all this supernatural stuff happen. Then they saw the Red Sea parted so they could walk through. They knew these stories. They experienced them, right? Then they just saw time after time God provided for them. He provided the manna from heaven for them to eat, water for them to drink. They were able to see miraculous signs and wonders and all this stuff from God. And yet, now that they went into the promised land, they became fearful. And when the spies came back, this is what they said. We see it in the book of Numbers. It says, they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. The land we traveled through and explored, it's going to devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw, they were huge. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers, and that's what they thought too. And so they came back and they said, okay, God, this you promised us this land, but you wouldn't. It's scary. We're afraid. The people that we're like grasshoppers. That's irrational thinking speaking, right? That's when we start making excuses. That's when we start thinking, here's what I realize. When we get scared, we get stupid. That's what happens. When we get scared, we start getting stupid. We start doing stupid things. We start saying stupid things. And what we see, we make up situations that don't even have a chance of happening. You don't believe me? Okay. Have you ever, right, when you're afraid of something, have you ever just sit around and say, oh my goodness, I'm so, you know what's going to happen? They're going to say this tomorrow. And when they say this, I'm going to say this back to them. And then when they say that, I'm going to go get in my car and I'm going to go tell this person. And then when that happens, are you tracking with me yet? Am I stepping on any toes? Do you ever start kind of making out these whole scenarios? Oh, well, this is going to happen and this is going to happen. And then, oh, wait, yeah, you wait and see what I tell my boss when that happens at work. And we start painting this whole scenario of what it's irrational thinking. We don't even know what's going to happen, and yet we've kind of planned it out for the next week. Everything, every single contingency, every single plan, what we're going to say. Does it ever actually turn out that way? No. But yet we spend so much time being worried and anxious. Why? Because we're irrational. And so we've just got to admit it. Okay, we've got to be able to recognize and admit it when we're thinking irrationally. This is where it helps, right, to have a spouse that will kind of speak into your life and say, what are you saying? You know, and you may not want to say it that way, okay? You may not, you probably don't say, you remember what Mike said? When you get scared, you get stupid. That's you right now. No, don't say that. You can imply that, but don't say it, okay? No, but we need that reminder sometimes. We need to admit it, that we're thinking irrationally. The only two spies that weren't afraid were Joshua and Caleb. The others were afraid of the unknown. They became irrational. They started making up, we're grasshoppers. These people are huge. They're just going to stomp us. And we see the effects it had, right, on the people. We see what happened. They ended up wandering. They ended up not being able to enter the land that God had promised. And so what fear is, it's a tool that the devil uses against us to make us miserable and to keep us from what God wants us to do. That's what fear is. It's just something that the devil uses. It begins as a thought. It creates emotions that rule us. It becomes this feeling that moves us to make foolish decisions and prevents us from doing something that would be good for us. And we end up focusing on all these things we simply cannot control. So how do we defeat this irrational thinking? We confront it with the truth. That's how you confront irrational thinking. I've been in ministry a long time now, and I've never seen a situation that the Bible does not have an answer for. I've never seen a fear that the Bible does not have the response to. Right? And so what we understand here is the reason for that is that God himself is the answer to every fear we have. Will you trust him? Will you trust him? To understand why God is the answer to all our fears, we've got to understand what the Bible says about fear. And so what we see is that this, again, the fear not, it's over and over and over again throughout the Bible. More than 200 individuals in Scripture that said they were afraid. And it's not just the bad guys. It's not just people who were struggling. We see the main characters, David, Paul, Timothy. We see others, biblical heroes, right, that were struggling with fear. And so when we look at this passage in Joshua 1, this is what God told Joshua. He's like, when you get fearful, here's what you got to do. Be careful to obey the instructions. Go back to the Word. When you start thinking irrationally, go back to the Word. Don't deviate from it. Go back to what God has promised. Go back to what God has told you. Go back to what God has done. Then you'll be successful. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, and be sure to obey everything written in it. It's only then that you're going to prosper and succeed. 2 Timothy is Paul's last book. He's on his deathbed, giving his final instructions, right? He writes to this young pastor, Timothy, to give him encouragement. And this is what he tells him, right? For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power and love and sound judgment. Why? Because when we get scared, we do stupid stuff. We need to understand. We need sound mind, a sound judgment. We need to make the right decision. Why? Because God's not given us a spirit of fear, but he's given one of power and love and a sound judgment. Most of the time, our harmful fears, they're just simply a result of our irrational thinking. Romans 12 tells us this. It tells us, you want to start thinking correctly? Then don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world. We've got to be different as believers. We've got to live according to God's word, not letting the world dictate to us what to do. Let God transform you into a new person. What? By changing the way you think. So we don't think irrationally. We think biblically. Then you'll learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. And so when everything is kind of, when we put fear in its place, what we do is we elevate God to his rightful place in our life. That's how we put fear in its place. We elevate God up and say, okay, God, I trust you. I'm not going to think stupid. I'm not going to make crazy decisions. I'm not going to go and make up scenario after scenario of what may happen. I'm not going to make excuses. I'm not going to blame someone else. I'm going to admit my fears, and I'm going to go to God's word. I'm going to find the answers. That's the first way we kind of deal with this fear of the unknown. Here's the second way we deal with it. We remember God's faithfulness. We remember God's faithfulness. We take what God has done in the past and we project it into the future. For Joshua, he just had to remember what God had already done. He had rescued them from slavery. He had brought them through the Red Sea. He had provided them food and water. He guided them. And now they just needed to be reminded to trust and not fear. Why? In Joshua 1:5, it says this. It says, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you. I will not abandon you. Joshua just needed reminding, okay, God was with Moses, he's going to be with me. God was, and we can look back, right, and we can look back on our life, and we can see those times where we were fearful. And it's in many of those times when I was most fearful, I look back and I look and I see how God orchestrated that situation or that event in my life, how he put the right people at the right times, how he put the right choices, how he kind of guided me through it, even in ways I didn't even understand at the time. And I look back and I can just say, my God has been faithful. My God has been faithful. And it was in times when I changed jobs, when I moved, when I changed careers. All those things, at the time, they were scary because there was a lot of uncertainty there. But I can go back and I can say God was faithful. And every situation I can see, hey, this turned out better for me than I would have ever guessed or imagined. Now, it didn't mean it was easy. It didn't mean it wasn't painful at times. It didn't mean there were detours along the way. But I see the path that God was at work in those decisions in my life. It was fearful for us when we moved from Winston to Galax and I changed jobs. It was fearful when I started and I accepted the call to be a youth leader at a church. It was fearful when I left that church and I felt God leading me to full-time ministry. It was fearful when I took a step of faith and left my job to become pastor here at Cornerstone, right? I mean, there are fears in those decisions, but in each case, God was faithful. And let me just ask you, how has he been faithful in your life? When you start looking back, in your life, can you see how God was at work, even in ways you didn't understand? Even those times when we've kind of left the path and God's kind of brought us back, do you see how God has been faithful? Do you see how he has not left you, how he has not abandoned you, even in your time of pain, even in your time of need? And so it's in those times where we've just got to remember. We've got to look back and say, okay, God, I can trust you. You've never let me down. You don't break your promises. And you've given me a lot of promises in your word. And it's in those times that kind of carry us through. We just got to remember his faithfulness. The third thing we've got to do is recognize God's presence. So not only look back and remember his faithfulness, we've got to remember he's right here with us today. He's right with you in your time of need. This whole passage in Joshua 1, it ends with this. It says, "For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." For the Lord your God, he is with you wherever you go. The God is with you. He is there. He has not abandoned you. Remember in Romans 8, nothing can separate you from the love of God. He's not a God that is distant and uninvolved. He's a God that cares. He is a God that is present. In the midst of your pain, in the midst of your fear, in the midst of your uncertainty. You think God would just up and leave Joshua all alone? No, he was with him. And if God has called you, he is with you. And so we see these promises over and over again throughout Scripture. Things like when Paul says in Ephesians, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Right, we're reminded over and over again, we can be courageous. And we've got to remember why. It's God's power at work inside us that enables us to understand his presence, that enables us to feel his power working through us. God loves us so much that he can never leave us. That's why we have the Holy Spirit living in us. That's why our hope is unshakable. That's why when we go through things in life, God is there with us, right? He is with us. And so we can understand his faithfulness and we can understand his presence in our life. And there's one more thing here. And this is where we put it into practice. If we're going to overcome uncertainty, we've got to walk in courage. We've got to walk in courage. This is where we take, okay, we know the truth. And that's the problem we have a lot of times. We know intellectually what we should do. But yet we don't put it into practice. We know intellectually, okay, I understand that. I understand that God is present. I understand that he has been faithful. I understand that sometimes I think irrationally, but I'm still going to be fearful. This is where we put it into practice. I saw this this acronym earlier this week, and I hadn't heard this one before. Usually all these cheesy acronyms I've heard before. This is a new one to me. FEAR. It's future events already ruined. Okay? This is the problem. This is what fear does to us. It takes future events before they even happen, and it ruins them because of all of our irrational thinking. If we want to overcome fear, what this is going to help us do, right? And when we start walking in courage, it's saying, I'm afraid, but I'm still going to move forward. I'm still going to trust. I'm going to trust, God, that you're there with me, all right? And so Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says this. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. That's courage, right? Courage, again, it's doing what you're afraid to do. Fear is selfish. It's worrying about my needs. It's worrying about my feelings. It's not trusting God to be in control. It's saying, God, I don't trust you, so I'm going to do things my way. And these fears, they keep you from serving God. They teach you. They keep you from teaching. They keep you from speaking in church. They keep you from sharing your faith at work. They keep you from answering God's call in your life. They keep you from being that person God wants you to be. Why? Because you're afraid of uncertainty. Because you want to have control. And when we let go of that control, it means we've got to trust God no matter where he takes us and what he does. And can we just say that for a minute? Sometimes what keeps us from courage is we're afraid that God really does want to do something with our life. We're afraid that if we really release control, he's going to ask you to do something that you just simply you don't want to do. I'm not here to say that he may not do that. You know, people say, well, I don't want to be a missionary in Africa. Well, God may very well call you to be a missionary in Africa. God may very well call you to be a pastor or a teacher. He may very well call you to serve in ways that right now you don't even realize and you don't even recognize you have the gifts to do. But where he calls you, he will empower you. And so can I just challenge you this morning? We've got to learn to let go. We've got to learn there are things that we simply cannot control. We don't know what's going to happen in our future, and we can either get worried about them, we can just say, God, I'm going to trust you with my future. When I was preparing for this, I was talking with Jennifer, and I'm like, you know, and we were just talking about the different ways fear kind of gets holding. I'm like, I said, I don't really have a lot of fears. And she just started laughing. She kind of called me out on it. It's like one of those things like you don't want to admit, but, you know, she's like, you've got a lot of fears. I'm like, yeah, right. You know, and she's like, no, here. And, yeah, she told me what they were, and she was right. I'm like, yeah, maybe so. Yeah. Yeah. Don't you hate it when that happens? But it's so, I mean, there's a lot of fears. And I just, I'll be open with you guys, and I feel like I can trust you guys. And, you know, when we go through certain events in life, it's hard not to be fearful. And so for me, 6 months ago when I had that heart attack, you know, then all these fears start creeping in your mind like, okay, what's going to happen next? Is it going to happen again? Is it going to be worse next time? How do I know? What can I do to prevent? And I'm trying to, like, figure out all this stuff, how I can control it, right? And the more I've learned, and what I've learned in these 6 months is I can't control it, right? I don't know what's going to happen. We're not guaranteed another day. We've just simply got to learn to trust God right now where we are and do what he's called us to do. I could live my life in fear and say, you know, I'm afraid this is going to happen, and it would limit my life. Or I could trust God, and he could kind of, and just understand that he's going to walk with me, he's going to prepare me, and if something does happen, it's all right because he's got this, right? I'm a believer. I know if I'm not here tomorrow, I know I'm with Jesus. That's the hope that we have as believers. And so that means we walk in courage, knowing that we can't control the future, we don't know what's going to happen, and yet it's all right. all worrying does, it just shows that we don't trust God. When we're sitting there saying, I don't know, and I'm worried about this, and I'm anxious about this, we're just saying, God, I really don't trust you. And so for whatever it is, maybe there's things in your life you can't control, the cancer or the sickness or your job or your children, whatever it is that you're just sitting here and you're worrying yourself to death over, maybe it's time to let go and start trusting God. Maybe it's time to get in His Word and quit thinking irrationally and start thinking clearly. And so I was reminded of this psalm in Psalm 27. This is what David said. He says, the Lord is my light. He is my salvation. So why should I be afraid? The Lord, He's my fortress. He protects me from danger. So why should I tremble? When evil people come to devour me, when my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I am attacked, I will remain confident. Max Lucado says this. He says, fear may fill our world, but it doesn't have to fill our hearts. It will always knock on the door. Just don't invite it in for dinner. And for heaven's sake, don't offer it a bed for the night. Let's embolden our hearts with a select number of Jesus's do not fear statements. Let's go to His Word. The promise of Christ is simple. We can fear less tomorrow than we do today. You do recognize that fear is a thief. It erodes our faith. It steals our freedom. It destroys our joy. It takes away that abundant life. And so this morning, I just want to just challenge you. Will you trust God? Now, in closing this morning, I will say there is a fear that is real. There is a fear that you should have. There is a fear that can lead you to do what is right, and that is a fear if you don't know God, there's a fear of what's going to happen for eternity. And that fear is very real. See, today we celebrated baptism. We celebrated new life. And this new life, when people, you know, their sins have been forgiven, they've raised a new life in Christ, we can celebrate that. But if you don't know Christ, you're separated from God for all of eternity. Hell is real. And I just want to challenge you this morning. If you don't know Jesus, what is holding you back? What is that fear that keeps you from trusting Him to start with? That's the first step of your faith. That's the first step along the way that when we put our faith in Christ, that's what sets everything else in motion for the rest of our life. It's the most important decision you will ever make. And so this morning, as we kind of close out, I just want to challenge you, will you accept that free gift that He has offered? Ephesians tells us, right, we're saved by grace through faith. It's the gift of God. It's not by works so that you won't boast, right? And then he goes on to say, right, that we are Christ's workmanship, created in Him to do the good works that He prepared for us from long ago. And so this morning, I just want to challenge you, will you trust Him? Praise team's going to come back up. We're going to end with our response time. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, this morning we are thankful to be in Your house, to be here to celebrate baptism. And Lord, we confess that we all have many fears, fears that hold us back from doing what You've called us to do. And so, Lord, help us to understand when we are thinking irrationally. Help us to look back and see Your faithfulness. Help us to understand Your presence. Help us to leave this place walking in the courage and trusting You with everything in day-to-day life. Lord, we just thank You for Jesus most of all. Jesus who came and lived a perfect life, who went to the cross to die, to take our sin upon Himself. And Lord, we know that we can be forgiven through His blood. And Lord, when He was raised back to life, we understand that He conquered death and the grave, that we now have the power to live this Christian life, that resurrection power living inside of us, where we're no longer slaves to sin, but now we're slaves to righteousness. So this morning, we just thank You for that. And finally, Lord, we pray for anybody in this room that may not know You as their Lord and Savior, that today would be that day that they confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord, today would be the day that they believe in their heart, God, that you actually did raise Jesus from the dead. And when we confess with our mouth, when we believe in our heart, your word tells us we will be saved. Lord, we thank you for that promise this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray.